Because of time, I want us to get to the scriptures. And I like to point this each time I speak. That the Bible is the inspired word of God. It is in the Bible that we get to know and understand what God requires of us. There is no any other book that you'll go to study to know God, no. It is the Bible. That is why I want to invite you to the book of Luke for a study. The book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, that is where I want to dwell. And before we read the book of Luke, let me point to you that there's a day Paul was preaching in Troas in Acts chapter 20, if you start 7, going down. And he was in the upstairs, third floor. And there's a man who was seated by the window. And as Paul was preaching, he was sleeping. That's why I want to hold it, because I walk. As Paul got into his sermon, deep and deep, the sleep was catching this guy deep and deep. And his name was Eutychus. Unfortunately, he fell by the window to his death. That is what the Bible says, that he fell to his death. And because Paul was there, Paul was able to bring him back to life. I don't know if Paul is here today who can bring you back to life if you fall. So don't sleep. Just walk with me through the scriptures. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. Hope you're there. The Bible reads, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." I've entitled our time together, Dinner with a Sinner. Shall we pray? At this point in time, loving Master, we open thy word to study. It's our desire to know you. I want to pray that you may speak to us, so that I be just a tool. Soften our hearts so that if we hear your voice today, we may not harden but accept. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus tells his disciples that let's go to Jerusalem. This is his last journey because he is going to be crucified in Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, when he is still in Samaria, he meets 10 lepers. And he tells them to go present themselves to the priest so that they be healed. But on their way, going to the priest, they get healed before they get to the priest. One of them comes back to praise God, and he kneels before Jesus, thanking him. Leprosy, when I studied the Old Testament, was a disease that if you had, you are not supposed to live with the people. You are quarantined, in agricultural term. It means you are supposed to live away from the rest of everybody because you are unclean. A leper had to wear a bell around his heels so that when he is walking and somebody is approaching, that person would know that there's a leper coming, because if you interact with the leper, you become unclean. That is the law that God told Moses to give Israelites in the book of Leviticus. That is Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. So Jesus meet these people who are living outside of the community, who are not supposed to intermingle with the rest. And he tells them to go present themselves, and they get healed. 10 of them. Only one comes to appreciate. Let me pause there and say that when I was thanking you for what you did, it was deep from my heart. I didn't want to be like the other 9 who did not come back to thank you for giving me all the gifts when we had a baby. And also, kids, when your parents tells you to be grateful, it's a virtue that they are putting into you. It is very necessary that you be grateful of what somebody does to you. I want to dwell that. I want to get to Zacchaeus. But I want you to picture what happens after Jesus heals the 10 lepers. If my son or my daughter is a leper, the community would know that my daughter or my son is a leper. Such that if my daughter is well, the community will want to know how he got well. And so I believe that after these guys were healed, the community asked, how comes? And so word must have gone around that the person who healed these guys was Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible tells me that where Jesus was, a crowd gathered. Why? Because Jesus healed. Because if you are a sinner, Jesus would tell you your sins are forgiven, go and live a sinless life. That is what he did with the woman he met at the well, right? And the Bible tells me in, I think, John chapter 4, that after Jesus met this woman and told the woman to go and bring the people in the community because she did not have a husband. For Jesus said that even the one that you're living with today is not yours. So almost everybody in the community was probably her husband. And everybody who came to listen to Jesus accepted that Jesus is the Savior. So Jesus was drawing a gathering as he walked because he could heal. Let me put this into perspective. In 2012, I read in the newspaper from Kenya, there was this guy from Tanzania who said that God revealed to him a concoction that if he mixes and you drink just a glass of it, you can get healed of anything. Don't go to Tanzania. It doesn't work. It was a hoax. People went to see this guy in a stream. There were vehicles that were going to see this guy. If you wanted to see him, you start today, probably you will reach in the next 6 months because it was just too much. Some people were flying the helicopters because the society is sick. So if the society knows that there's somebody who can heal, I am very sure that they would gather around that person. And that is why the Bible says that whenever Jesus walked, there was a multitude that walked with him. That is what I want you to see as we get to Zacchaeus. And so when he approaches Jericho, he gets another person who is called a blind beggar. That is what Luke says. But when I read Matthew and Mark, I find that this is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus hears a wind, a crowd that passes by, and he realizes this, that this is strange. I hope my accent is not a problem, right? We are together, right? If I miss you, just raise up your hand, and I'll get back. I realize that I speak so fast. So Bartimaeus realizes that Jesus is passing by, and he asks, "What's going on?" And somebody tells him, "It is Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by." I'm in Luke chapter 18:35. I'm trying to get 18:31. I'm trying to get to 19. So when Bartimaeus hears that it's Jesus, he says with a loud voice, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people who are with Jesus, the Bible says in New International Version, that the people who are leading the way tried to stop him. Let me pause there and come here. There are people in church today who are leading the way. They don't really know what Christianity is all about. And they're in church. They're just leading the way. Because if the people who are leading the way were with Jesus, they would have not thwarted Bartimaeus from crying for help. Because that is what Jesus was all about. And so there are people in church today who are just leading the way. Woe unto you. If Pastor Weekly brings this, you bring the other. If he says, "Let's do this," you say the other. You are just leading the way. What is the function of a church? A church is supposed to prepare people for eternity. That is why we are here. Our responsibility is to prepare people for eternity. And that should be our desire. Everybody who is seated here, your responsibility or your goal should be to prepare a people for eternity, not lead the way. So that if there's anything that is supposed to be done in church, you bring solutions, not problems. If we were doing our responsibility, all these pews would be full. I was told that, I asked the elder, "What is the population of the church?" I was told 100. How many are we? Probably about 30, 40. So there's a big number that is still not coming because probably we are leading the way. And so as these guys tried to stop Bartimaeus, the more he pressed on. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus got the wind of it and said, "Bring that guy here. What do you want me to do for you?" He told Jesus, "I just want to have my sight." And Jesus healed him. All right, now, Jesus has healed Bartimaeus. I want to believe that the crowd is getting bigger and bigger. Because not only did he heal the lepers, not only did he heal the guy by Bethesda pool, but he has healed Bartimaeus now at the border of Jericho. I told you Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's not gotten there. He's just at the border of Jericho. And he gets to Jericho now with a multitude. People around him, whom Sam does not know why they're following him. Probably Sam were just there for food. I dug a little bit to know what was happening in Jericho. I wanted to know the geographical location of Jericho. And from my study, I learned that Jericho was 250 meters below the sea level. We normally measure elevation above the sea level. If I say that this table is 630 . It means it's 630 above the sea level. So if I say that Jericho was 250 meters below the sea level, that means that the sea is up. And that tells me how Jericho was getting its water. Because if the sea is up, water follows gravity, right? So water would be percolating towards where it's low. Water follows the low point. Simple physics. So, and I also learned that Jericho was 110 kilometers from the Dead Sea and 7 kilometers from River Jordan. So that means the sea is up here, River Jordan is up here. There had to be springs of water. So as I was digging, I was understanding that Jericho was fed by natural springs of water. And the article that I was reading was telling me that Jericho was evergreen. Not like Sheridan. When you go out there, you wonder if there's anything green. Because everything is dead. When my wife joined me last year, June. June was still summer, so everything was still green. So as the year was going, she was asking me, why are these things dying? I told her, no, they're just hibernating. They will come forth in spring. Jericho was evergreen. In fact, somebody wrote that it was an oasis. And an oasis is a place that is beautiful. Other places were saying it was the garden of God. There were palm trees in Jericho. If you want to know where rich people live, you look at the environment. If you see an environment beautiful, you know who is living there. If it is very green, well-shaped, tells you which type of people live there. So that told me the type of people who lived in Jericho. The who is who in the society. I don't think I would have been able to live there because I'm not who is who in the society. There were priests who lived in Jericho. And since Jericho was evergreen, it flourished in agriculture. They planted dates, citrus, spring vegetables. And so where there's agriculture, there's business. All right? I'm very sure that where there's trade, IRS must be around, right? Because that's where they get their taxes. So that explains why Zacchaeus finds himself in Jericho. Why? Because he's collecting tax. So tax collectors lived in Jericho. The Bible tells me that Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was chief. All right? That means orders came from who? Zacchaeus. Those codes that you don't like in IRS, standard deduction, now that I have a baby, I'm getting to understand them. Zacchaeus was a party to forming them. I also read a little bit about Zacchaeus, and I understood that Zacchaeus was a Jew. In fact, the name Zacchaeus was the name of a priest who was Jewish. Who was Zacchaeus working for? The Roman government, right? So we have a situation here where Zacchaeus is a Jew and is working for the Roman government. And who is he taxing? A Jew. You think they liked him? I am very sure that nobody likes IRS. I hope nobody works for IRS here. If you get a letter from IRS, if it is no tax return, you just get a letter from IRS. A little cautious, right? What do they want from me, right? So the Jews hated Zacchaeus. Not only because he's a tax collector, because he's one of us and taxing us. And the Jews believed back then that the Roman government was heathen, so they were not supposed to tax the Jew. Let me let that sink in you. There was no politically correct reason to love Zacchaeus. Let me add salt into it. Back then, they did not only take what is necessary, they took a little more. You owe $10,000 and Zacchaeus come to you that you owe 13. You give it or they throw you to jail. So when they say that Zacchaeus was rich, most probably his wealth was not from his regular earning. What I earn from IDOT cannot make me rich. What I earn from IDOT can only sustain me. You'd know that from the car I drive. I drive just a Toyota Camry. Rich people don't drive that, right? So if you see me driving an S-Class Mercedes Benz, and I tell you that I work for IDOT, you ask yourself, how much do they pay you? You'll be very sure that they don't pay me enough to buy an S-Class Mercedes Benz, right? So if you see Zacchaeus driving that good car, you know that he took more than he ought to have taken. That even added a nail to his coffin. If you wanted to be famous back then in Jericho, you would speak about Zacchaeus. Anything that you can say dirty about Zacchaeus, everybody would laugh. Why? Because he is a sinner. If you are working as a publican, you are a sinner because you take more than you ought to take. There was no politically correct reason for anybody to love Zacchaeus. Now Jesus gets to Jericho. And Zacchaeus, knowing that Jesus is going to pass by, he decides to climb a tree. How do you think Zacchaeus was dressed when he was climbing a tree? I've told you he was rich, right? Probably he had his S-Class Mercedes Benz parked somewhere there. And where was he? In a tree. If you find me in a tree the way I'm dressed, that would be funny, right? I'm very sure that kids, young people are normally funny. They would look at you up there and say, did you not come to our house yesterday demanding for $13,000 from my dad and you're in a tree? I want you to picture the environment that Zacchaeus was in. If you know there's something good from the Lord, nothing can prevent you from getting it. And that is why even the suit that Zacchaeus was on could not prevent him from climbing the tree. So I want to challenge you, in your house, in your family, if your husband is putting an hindrance to you in knowing the Lord, please climb the tree. Let nothing hinder you from getting that which is right from the Lord. Zacchaeus knew that if I climb this tree, I would be able to have a perspective of Jesus. And so he purposed in his heart that I want to know whom this Jesus is. Let me just say that there are people in our community who just want to know whom Jesus is. They can know whom Jesus is if we present that Jesus to them. Jesus is not going to pass by, but he can pass by through you presenting him to them. The society needs to know that Jesus is a Savior. And it's very easy through the scriptures. The first four gospel books, the first four books in the New Testament, explains to us whom Jesus is. They explain to us that Jesus is a Savior. They explain to us that Jesus is the Son of God. They explain to us that Jesus is a judge. John chapter 5 verses 22 says that the Father has given authority to the Son to be a judge of the world. That is what we need to present to the society. That Jesus loves them. And that is what Zacchaeus wanted to know. And so they come in a multitude. Everybody is walking. Zacchaeus is up there. And Jesus gets there, stands by the tree, looks up. And he sees this well-dressed man in a suit in a tree. I want you to picture what was going on in the mind of Zacchaeus. You know, I've learned that even murderers who are caught in the act, when they're taken to court, they say that I did not do it. That's why you'll hear them saying, not guilty, right? We saw one what was his name? The guy who killed another. There's a guy who killed last year. What was his name? John Zimmerman. George Zimmerman, right? When he was taken to court, he said he was not what? But he killed, right? So even Zacchaeus, as Jesus was looking at him, I am sure he did not want Jesus to say that you publican, get off the tree. At times, we don't normally want to say people to say what is true about us, because it is true. So as Jesus was looking at him, and he's looking at Jesus, he's probably was saying, please, don't say that. Please, I know, but don't say it. And then Jesus calls him by name. Jesus does not look at you based on your past. Jesus looks at me based on my potential. When I look at these young people, I look at them based on their potential. And at times, these young people just want you to realize the potential in them. When I was in grade, when I was in grade 9, the highest I could get in mathematics was 5. Because I hated mathematics with a passion. Actually, we even gave it a name. You know how kids are? We used to call it Liwa. Liwa is something very tough. You don't want to talk about it. And then when I was in grade 10, a new teacher came to our school. I went to school in Kenya. And that teacher told me that if you want to pass mathematics, just take the book and read it. Just as you read a novel, take the book and read the novel. I did not know what he was telling me is to have a mind of it's possible. We used to do a math that is done in the district, the old district. And district is big, real big. There were over 700 schools. And when we did mathematics, I would not start looking for my name from the top. I would start looking for my name from where? Because that's where I belonged. Mathematics is tough, right? Math is tough, right? Yeah. So when we first sat that test in grade 10, I think with my 5%, if the people I beat, probably they were about 10. So the next one, I knew where to look for my name. And that teacher told me, Jacob, there's potential in you. if you just take the book and read it, you'd see improvement. And I told him, I don't think so. Then he told me, okay, let's try this for that, just this time. So I started reading the book. And in the evening, I would go to him to explain to me a little bit of what I did not know. The next test, I did not get 5, but I got 47. I was happy. Understanding that these kids have potential in them. If we get to understand that they have potential, that is a way of nurturing their brain. And what Zacchaeus wanted to have was that nurturing of that brain. That is why after he got encounter with Christ, he came out and said, if I have taken anything from somebody, I'm going to return it fourfold. Jesus does not look at you based on the bad that you've done. No. He looks at you based on what you can become. That teacher was looking at me based on what I can become. I don't think I would be an engineer today with 5% in mathematics. No. And if he did not see that potential in me, I don't think I would be whom I am today. So those grandkids that you have, please, nurture them. There's something going on. I'm sorry, I'm a little off my subject. There's something going on in America. When you go to schools, universities, you will find that those who are heading the technical courses are not Americans. They are Indians, Chinese, a little bit of Africa. Because kids today try to deviate from technical. And that is why China is beating the world today. Because things that are technical, they've gotten into. And as we were saying in the Bible study, that this country was founded on hard work. If we realize the potential in these kids, they will know that hard work pays. And what Zacchaeus needed to know was that there's potential in him to being a Christian, not just being a publican. And that is what the society in Sheridan needs to know. That there's potential in everybody that is out there. When you walk in the streets of Sheridan, you will see very many people who just want Jesus to pass by them. And walk in the streets and find somebody smoking. That person just needs to experience Jesus. How is he going to pass? If you take it to him. It is our duty to pass Jesus by. It is our duty to study. And that is the only way out that we are going to reach to the community. Leaders are human beings. If we don't present Jesus to the leaders, today we were studying about reaching the powerful. If we don't present to them Jesus, what do we expect of the judgments that they are going to make? What do we expect of the laws that they are going to pass if we don't present Jesus to them? It is our duty to present Jesus just as Zacchaeus was presented to Jesus through Jesus passing by. I'm not going to stop there. It's 12. Jesus gets with Zacchaeus. He tells Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to be a visitor in your house. And Zacchaeus hears the word. It is obedience. Jesus told him 2 things. Haste and come down. The guy was dressed. Let me stress that very well. If I'm dressed with very expensive clothes, I'm very sure that he did not buy his clothes from Walmart. He bought them from the best shop that you can find. If you have money, you know, if you want to go shopping, go to expensive places, right? So anything, probably, I was looking online and I found that there's a watch that is over $1 million. Excuse me, a watch? This one of mine is, I think, $30. And so what was on Zacchaeus was expensive. And when Jesus tells him, hurry up, come down, and he comes down hurrying, do you think he valued what he was wearing? I don't think so. And when you're on a tree, you're coming down in a hurry, what do you expect from your clothes? Well, I get torn, right? So if it was a suit worth 100,000, when you're coming, you know, back in Kenya, it's very hard to own a suit, especially if you don't have. So if when you're going to sit down, you look at where you're going to sit. Because probably the suit that you're wearing, you borrowed it. More often, when I went preaching, when I was in Kenya, I used to borrow suits from my friends because I couldn't afford it. And if you're with that person that you borrowed the suit from, you want to show him that you're taking care of that suit that he gave you. So if there's a nail, you first, you know, touch it with your hands. But when Zacchaeus was coming down, he did not value the suit that he was wearing because he came down in a haste. That is what the Bible is telling me, that he came down in a haste. How often does God call us to do things and we hesitate? I'm very sure that when the year began, we had resolutions. This year, I'm going to go to church every day on time. And when it gets to February, it was a little of an issue, right? When Jesus calls us, he requires a level of obedience in us. And that is what Zacchaeus showed us, that when he got a touch of whom Christ is, a level of obedience. That is what God requires of us. The Bible tells me, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't keep my commandments? I normally say to my friends at work that if God is anything in my life, he has to be everything. And so they get to Zacchaeus' house. The Bible tells me that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And that brings me to my last point. Since we accepted Christ, the Bible tells me in Colossians chapter 5:20-something, that since you have accepted Christ, now willfully walk in him. Since we accepted Christ, it is a duty that is required of us to walk in him. In Kenya, we take shower in the river. When you take shower in the river, there are stones that are normal in the river. You don't just step on those stones. Yes, it's true, we take shower. Young people are looking at me like, serious? Yes, we take shower in the river. When you step on the stones that in the water, you have to be very careful, because they are slippery. If you just step on them, you'd fall down. So what I used to do is I go to the river, get a good stone, take it out, clean it. When I'm done taking shower, I take that my cloth, hide it by the riverbank. When I come back tomorrow, that is the stone that I use. Why am I bringing the story of taking shower in the river? There are people in church today who are stones in the river. When people come from outside and get them, they slip away. And they are Christians. The Bible tells me that since you have accepted Christ, walk in him. Don't be a stone in the river. Be a stone that if somebody steps on you, he doesn't slip. Probably this church was full some time back. And they are going out one by one, because probably there's a stone in this church who is slippery. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. It is our desire as Christians to be followers of Jesus Christ. And that is what I'm bringing to you today. Number one, take your responsibility. The Bible tells me when Jesus was leaving that go ye into the world and make disciples of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means I am a disciple. That means you are a disciple in school. IBBC where you are a disciple. You are not just a disciple in church. No. We are disciples where we are, in the community where we are. I am a disciple to my wife. She's a disciple to me. Now that we have a young kid, we have to be very cautious even what we say, because we are disciples to that young kid. Let it be your desire. And let's take an initiative to be disciples of Christ. Pass that Jesus to them. Number two, accept his call obediently, just as Zacchaeus did. We are not told of his life after his encounter with Christ, but I believe that he got conversion. And number three, walk in Christ. And that is my prayer with you today. And may God bless you. I hope Pastor will schedule me one other day to come and speak to you. May God bless you.
Song is number